We'll just pray real quick for worship. We thank you so much, Lord, for this morning and this opportunity to get together as a church body. I pray, Lord, that you speak through me this morning as I share my testimony, and that we all share in your love. In your precious name we pray. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Brad, one of the members. Hello, everybody. Most of you know me. But I wanted to share a little bit of a testimony this morning. We've all, maybe some of us have had some moments in our lives where we've really had to lean into our faith for peace and comfort and strength. And last month was one of those moments where really tested Rachel and I's faith. So I just wanted to share a little bit of that story and share some scripture that helped her and I get through this experience. But about a little over a month ago, month and a half ago or so, it actually started during April vacation. Jasmine spiked a fever, our daughter. She spiked a fever, and probably about a week or so of just fever, no really other symptoms besides being kind of lethargic, which ruined her April vacation. Took her into a quick care, and quick care basically said, looks like influenza A, so we'll just have to let it pass. A few days later, she started complaining about some left ear pain, so we took her back into the doctors. This time it was a primary care doctor, and once they kind of cleaned everything out of her ear so they could see the eardrum, they noticed some swelling, so they said, well, it looks like an outer ear infection, prescribed some drops. So we were giving her those drops for probably about 4 days, 5 days maybe, and pain really didn't subside at all. So Rachel and I were doing the Weekend to Remember marriage conference in South Portland, and the kids were staying with Greg and Kathy, and Kathy finally said, enough's enough, we're going back in to quick care, and they prescribed her with Augmentin, which is kind of an antibiotic for, you know, a few different infections, but mostly for an inner ear infection. So then we fast forward maybe another 4 days or so of being on Augmentin and seemingly starting to turn the corner finally after, felt like 3 weeks of her being in pain. And she woke up the morning of May 7th and, you know, had a conversation with Rachel and kind of was confused, you know, had a confused state. Couldn't really tell her what day of the week it was. So Rachel kind of pulled me aside, you know, kids are getting ready for school, and kind of pulled me aside and said, something's off with Jazz, you might want to go talk to her. So I went in and had a conversation with her and kind of noticed some of the same things. She wasn't really, you know, sounding right. So I proceeded to ask her her name, to which she kind of looked confused and then responded with, Ruby? And I was like, what's his name? Pointing to her brother. And she just looked kind of scared and couldn't remember Zeke's name. So at that point, without trying to cause too much panic, we called Greg and Kathy to come up and assist and help get Zeke on the bus so we could take Jasmine into the emergency room at Main Med. And that was kind of the first part of the story where fear kind of sets in a little bit. In that particular moment, you know, a lot of uncertainty, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to think. You just kind of get in the car and you go. But oddly enough, on the car ride there, Jasmine started to seem like she was coming out of it a little bit, which was, Rich and I were kind of looking at each other, we're like, did we panic? Like, are we doing the right thing? And we kind of knew, like, we still got to see somebody on this. Got to the ER, and, you know, I honestly feel like it was kind of God's divine providence and intervention that As some of you know, emergency rooms can be very, very busy. And like I said, by God's divine providence, I dropped Rachel and Jazz off at the door. And by the time I got into the parking garage and went in, they were already back in a room. And a pediatric doctor was already having a conversation with Jasmine. So right off the bat, we got seen right away. But throughout this experience, you know, this whole experience for Jasmine was new, you know. Pretty much everything was terrifying for her, which as a parent, you know, you try to be strong for your kids and be that rock that they need so that they don't see you worried, which could make them be worried. So, you know, with all of this being new, she pretty much immediately got an IV line put in, which was, again, terrifying for her. But shortly after we got seen by the pediatric doctor, they called down a neurologist to have a conversation with us to kind of get some of the facts about, you know, this confused state that she was in. And shortly after that, they told us that we were going to be admitted for the night up in the Barbara Bush wing. So this whole time we're thinking, you know, it's going to be nothing, you know. The neurologist said, you know, we're going to schedule an MRI, and if nothing shows in the MRI, which is what we were hoping for, that it could have been, you know, a migraine, that sometimes migraines can cause a confused state. So we were hopeful that that's what it was. But we were admitted up in the Barbara Bush wing, and a lot of waiting, a lot of downtime. And that's really when a lot of deep prayer begins, because in those moments of waiting, you know, your thoughts can wander and they can go to dark places if you let it. And we just had to keep reminding ourselves, you know, that God is in control, that, you know, this is going to be an experience, but we're only going to be here for a night. So, you know, depending on what time we get the MRI, you know, we're hoping just be here for a night. Unfortunately, because we were an unscheduled MRI, we were thinking we might have to spend the night just to get the MRI in the morning, just to be an observation. But so fast forward later that day on the 7th, we thankfully got an MRI. Scheduled about 4:30 in the afternoon that day. And none of us in our family have ever gotten an MRI, so we didn't know how to express to Jazz that she's going to be okay. You know, it was kind of a nerve-wracking experience for all of us, but, you know, my 11-year-old daughter was the first one in the family to get an MRI, and not only that, but an MRI of her head. You know, so those of you who've had MRIs know that you go in the tube and it's really loud. And but we, one of Jasmine's favorite verses, and you know, we've talked a lot about this one over the years, is Joshua 1:9. I'll just read that to you real quick. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And that was really a strong verse for us. You know, there was a lot of uncertainty. And it was a moment that, you know, provided us some strength in these moments. I think it gave Jazz a little bit of comfort. That and the Ativan probably helped with the MRI, but and Taylor Swift, she was able to listen to music while she was in there, and she picked Tay Swift. But so she had the MRI, and then after the MRI was done, we, you know, kind of had to get back into that waiting period back in the room. And at that point, we were all starving. So probably much like any other dad, my duties were to go get food. So I left, had intended on getting some Italian food, only to find that the restaurant was closed on that particular Wednesday. So switched up and ended up going to Applebee's, and I'm not sure if folks have been to the Barbara Bush wing at Main Med, but there's kind of this central community area that's got a table, a bunch of tables and stuff like that. So I came back with the food and I was all excited. I set it up at a table and then I texted Rachel and I said, all right, I got the food ready out here, you know, come and eat. To which Rachel responded with, the food's gonna have to wait. It's not good, you're gonna have to come back into the room. So I kind of knew something at that point. So I packed up the food and went in, and Rachel had told me that Jazz had a abscess in her left temporal lobe, basically a brain infection, and that it was gonna require surgery, which kind of was a shock to us all. You know, I think back to that moment and, you know, really had to kind of dig deep again for Jazz, for how terrified she was. But it was, you know, God's strength really that was able to kind of keep that for Rach and I. I'm not going to say we were perfect, but we made sure to try not to show too much emotion in front of Jazz, again, so that she felt comforted that we can trust the doctors, you know, that we were in the absolute best place we could be. You know, but that trust word was tough in that moment. You know, feeling helpless as a parent to give over your child to their care and to trust them wholeheartedly that, A, they knew what they were doing, and that, you know, they were going to take care of your daughter. And I was reminded at that moment of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You know, for us it was, again, trusting the doctors, trusting their diagnosis, trusting that they were in control, that they knew what they were doing. I only wanted to throat punch the neurosurgeon once when he came into our room and proceeded to read the risks of the surgery, unfortunately in front of Jasmine, which, much like any surgery, they include death. That's a risk. And just kind of broke my heart that as Jazz cried into my chest, all she heard was, I'm gonna die. So we knew, you know, we had to give her confidence that, again, she was in the best place possible. But then, you know, I had to make some phone calls just to let people know what was going on. Thank Greg for his wisdom. When I called him, and he just reminded me that she's in God's hands, that she would be taken care of. And that was all I kind of really needed to lean back into my faith. And try to find some semblance of peace going through this tough situation. Hold on one second. This was the next verse that was kind of big, I think. Again, as a parent feeling helpless in these situations, I really reflected a lot on Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and trying not to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I wouldn't say during the procedure there was much peace. I'm very thankful for the response from MaidMed. Her MRI was at 4:30 in the afternoon, and by 10:30, she was in surgery. And so from 10:30 to 2:30, she was in surgery. They performed a craniotomy. The neurosurgeon was very proud that he only had to shave a small rectangle here where her incision was. But part of this was also, she essentially had two surgeries at once. It was a craniotomy from the neurosurgeon and then also a surgery from the ear, nose, and throat doctor, which performed what they call a mastoidectomy. So craniotomy here, the piece of skull, which is about, I'm going to say, quarter size, that they removed, they found was infected. So they chose not to put that piece back on at the end of surgery. They feel like she's young enough that it should fuse back together, which we're hopeful for that. And then ear, nose, and throat had an incision behind the ear. The mastoid bone is that bone behind your ear. That was also infected, so they needed to clean that up as well. But it's amazing how the advances of medicine have come along, because from when they took her away from the anesthesiologist to when we got her back was a matter of 4 hours. But this piece that transcends understanding, really came once Jasmine came back from surgery, and the feedback from the neurosurgeon and the ear, nose, and throat doctor that communicated that it went basically as good as it could have gone, kind of a best case scenario. So in this verse, when it's talking about with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, in that moment we had so much to be thankful for. By extension, we're, thankful that Jasmine showed the symptoms she did that morning, based on the size of the abscess. The doctors believe it had been there a while, and she just never showed symptoms of it. It was, by all signs and symptoms, an ear infection. And that's where the doctors believe that brain infection stemmed from. It was just a very rare and unlucky case that the infection entered the brain that way. But by extension, we're thankful for whoever invented the MRI machine. And the doctors and the surgeons and, the care that the Barbara Bush nurses and doctors, everybody was so kind and helpful, and they communicated really well, which, again, as parents, we're trusting everything they're saying, but they communicated on a level that helped us understand so that we could be more supportive of Jazz. Um, And then kind of came a little bit more of that waiting period of, you know, we heard from one doctor that, you know, we were going to be on antibiotics, could be up to 12 weeks. We were told at one point we may be in the hospital for up to 4 weeks. You know, I think typically what they do for infections, once the infection was drained out of Jasmine's brain, they try to grow cultures, basically try to grow the bacteria that was causing the infection so that they can prescribe specific antibiotics. And that takes time. So that was kind of explained to us as part of our stay. But it was kind of interesting that the cultures never grew anything. They actually were considered what the doctors called sterile. And, you know, we're thankful for the Augmentin, which the doctors believe for the inner ear infection is what stopped the spread of the bacteria from going any further in her brain. It actually formed, you know, like a rind around the infection and prevented it from growing any further. So it was just a lot of sitting around the hospital and just trying to heal and again, doing everything we could to help keep Jazz comfortable. And that comfort is what I thought of when I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. You know, that experience of peace that surpassed understanding for me, you know, coupled with the firm foundation that Rachel and I have in Christ, allowed us to provide a level of comfort for Jasmine through this. And, you know, a few people came to visit in the hospital, and, you know, a couple of them mentioned just like, how are you and Rachel so calm right now? You know, I'd be freaking out if this was my kid. And both times that was brought up, my response was, it's God. It's not humanly possible for me to feel this kind of peace or provide this kind of comfort in this moment without the help of God. And I knew that. So fast forward almost a week. We're in the hospital at this point. Jasmine had a PICC line installed. So that's essentially an IV line that went into her right bicep, and it's about 18 inches long or so, and it goes to the top of the heart. It's the most effective way to administer antibiotics. So she got that a few days after surgery. So that's how they were administering the antibiotics while we're in the hospital. And at some point, tried to get some normalcy back for Zeke, because we almost forgot we had a second kid too. And thank you to Greg and Kathy and, you know, Steve and Aaron and them for keeping him, cared for and distracted. We're so thankful for the support. But we started getting him on the bus, or I started getting him on the bus in the morning, and then I'd go into the hospital and then get out in time to get him off the bus so that he could have some sort of normal routine. At this point, Jazz was kind of settled in the hospital, and we were just doing the antibiotic thing and, playing games of cribbage and coloring and all that stuff. So felt like we were in a good spot so that, Rachel would stay at the hospital. And that Tuesday morning, the 13th, I was telling the other parents at the bus stop, I have no idea when we're getting out of the hospital. The doctors really haven't given us a definitive time. And it makes sense now. They were waiting to see definitively if anything was going to grow from those cultures. So the morning of the 13th, I get Zeke on the bus, head into the hospital. And every morning they used to have a round talk where all the doctors would come in, the nurses, and be like a plan of the day. And they walked in that morning and they said, well, cultures didn't grow anything, so if we can get you set up with antibiotics for home and a home nurse, you could go home today, probably tomorrow. It was kind of whiplash because we were mentally preparing ourselves for a long haul. And then we found out, could be today, could be tomorrow. So we were hopeful in that. And then come lunchtime that day on the 13th, they said, well, we got everything lined up. We're getting your discharge papers ready. So that was a praise Jesus moment for sure. Nothing against hospital food, but, And Jazz, God love her, she really, really, really missed our dog. She kept asking if she could bring the dog into the hospital. I said no. Here we are leaving the hospital. Not out of the woods yet. We still had two antibiotics that she was on. One was an oral antibiotic, and the other one was through that PICC line. Rachel and I became, as Jazz called it, a DURSE and a MERS, so a dad nurse and a mom nurse. Don't worry, we got like a 20-minute training in the hospital on how to administer these antibiotics. But again, super thankful for the advances in technology and in medicine because once a night, Rachel and I had to flush her IV port and then hook her up to this antibiotic that was an elastomeric ball, they call it. So picture like a grenade with an IV line on it. And once we got her hooked up, you unclip it and it self-dispenses the exact amount of antibiotics she needs in about an hour. So there's no pump, no electricity. She was mobile. She could, do things and it just shrivels up. And then when it's done, flush it, put some heparin in so it doesn't clot. And obviously, the first night, Jazz was very nervous that mom and dad were doing it, not a medical nurse, but we assured her we were just as confident. So we started seeing some of those, the positive things that were happening. The other waiting thing was that we didn't know how long she was going to be on antibiotics. Jazz, throughout this whole thing, everything was new to her. It was her first MRI, first surgery, first IV. After we got out of the hospital, she had to do weekly blood draws, so once a week she was getting pricked, and of course they can't use the PICC line, which would be an easy way to grab blood. So unfortunately she was, pricked once a week, for that. But, we found strength in prayer, and we found strength in each other. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" I firmly believe that you know, as Jazz is coming into her own faith, and the curiosity she has as an 11-year-old makes me proud as a father. It's nothing that's been forced on her, and I think that's a testament to this church body. It's made us feel so welcome and encouraged. But I think she felt that strength from Christ, you know, to go through all this whole experience, and she maybe complained like twice, you know. We told her what needed to be done, and she just didn't complain. She just did it. She was super bummed when all this happened. For those of you who know Jasmine, she is a big dancer. Dances her life. She dances at Druin Dance Center, and throughout the year, it's Monday through Thursday, almost 3 to 4 hours a night, doing dance instruction and competitions and things. And she was told, because of her pick line, that she wasn't going to be able to do the recital, which she had worked so hard for all year. And that was one of her, you know, complaining moments, and for right reason. We kind of gave her the space to have that emotion. That was very true. But she, you know, chose to lean on God's strength and said, "All right, well, if I can't do that, then I'm going to be a backstage helper." And she was able to sit and watch all her friends, and again, kind of proud that she didn't look at this as like a self-pity moment. And, you know, it wasn't until maybe less than a week ago, when we say our prayers every night, a little less than a week ago, she kind of asked me a very deep question for an 11-year-old. And it was, "Dad, why does God allow things like this to happen?" I was like, "I don't know if I'm even ready to answer that question." You know, I talked a lot about how God puts us in these moments and these challenges to test our faith, but also to rely on Him and to look back at experiences and realize that as bad as it felt in that moment, you know, He was always there. And He was with you on the other end, and He got you through this experience. And I started to go down the road of, well, we live in a broken world, and Adam and Eve, and then I stopped. That's a little too deep, but I'm so encouraged for Jasmine at a young age to have this happen, that, you know, a prayer that I have is that she'll remember this and reflect on that strength that she was able to receive from God, and the strength that her parents received from God, and that it carries with her for life. You know, I didn't have a personal relationship with Christ until I was in my 30s and had true adversity. To truly feel that deep down, that peace that surpasses understanding, the peace that's available to anybody when the storms of life come along. You know, the foundation in Christ really was important to get us through this. I am happy to say that as of Friday, Jasmine's pick line has come out, and no more antibiotics. She had an outpatient MRI last Tuesday, and again, she rocked it. She, the nurse before she took her out back to do the MRI asked her, do you want either mom or dad to come back with you? And she was like, nah, I'm not going to see him anyway, so they're fine. We didn't tell Jazz that the first time she got it done in the hospital, she had an Ativan that helped her relax, but she rocked it, and, you know, you can see some slight remnants of the abscess in the MRI, the most recent one, but our doctor's appointment on Friday got the PICC line out, which frees Jasmine up for summer activities because she couldn't swim or dance with her PICC line in. Those were kind of the two biggest ones for the summer. So she, by the grace of God, is healed. And as of right now, we haven't identified any long-term effects with speech or memory or anything intellectual. So yeah. So that's what I just wanted to share with you guys. I'll close in a word of prayer. Ed, we don't have another song? No, okay. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the reminders that you are all-powerful and all-knowing and omniscient, that you never leave us. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That we can lean on your strength and not on our own understanding. And that you can guide our hearts and minds and give us a peace, Lord, that is unexplainable. That we can be rocks for our children just as you are a rock for us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us with your comfort and give us the courage to bless others who need comfort as well, Lord. I thank you so much for this church body and the support through the last month and a half. I know it wouldn't have been able to be possible without you. So I pray, Lord, as we go about this week, that we look for opportunities to bless others and praise you every day.